Good morning.
Good morning, Dane.
We're going to do something this morning. We're going to recognize our graduates first. So if you've graduated high school this year, this century, this year, or college graduate this year, why don't you come on down here and line up for me, okay? And then we're going to have a time of sharing funny stories. You want to share about them? wow. Are we proud of them? Are we proud of them? Yeah. All right, here's the drill. I'm going to hand you the microphone, okay? And you're going to say your name, because believe it or not all of them know who you all are, okay? Now, they may have heard stories, but now they're going to put a face to the stories, okay? So I'm going to hand you the microphone as I walk in front of you. I want you to say your name, where you graduated from, and then what you're going to plan on doing next that's productive, okay? All right? Okay? Well, hey, you know, if I'd asked some of them last year or a couple years ago that question, I don't know what we would have said. So, name where you graduated from and what you're doing next, okay? You got that?
Hi, my name's Joel Paskowskis. I graduated from Savannah Christian, and I'm going to Georgia Southern next year.
Tell me what you're going to do over the summer, but tell me all the things you're going to do over the summer.
Oh, and I'm going to EMT school this summer in July in North Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah, at summer camp, Joel has been our pseudo nurse now since, I don't know, about 8 years old. you know, the truth is at summer camp, when somebody gets hurt, they don't go see one of the nurses, they just go find Joel. I mean, he's helped with a lot of injuries we didn't even know about till that. So anyway. All right, Miss Hart.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hart, and I graduated from Jenkins High School, and I'm gonna be going to Armstrong.
Rachel will graduate from Jenkins High School this Tuesday, all right? So I think she's going to make it. And she has been a longtime neighbor to the Paskowskis family. I'm not going to say that out loud.
I need a lot of prayer.
Yes, you do. I'm Amy Forster, and I'm going to Armstrong, and I graduated from homeschool. Thank you.
Thank you for that nice speech, Amy. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. That's not an inside joke, but I can't repeat anything else. That's all I'm going to say.
I can get it.
Hi, I'm Michaela Calvert. I graduated from Savannah Christian, and I'll be attending the University of Georgia.
Yes. Some of you may not know what this is, but Miss Michaela is a Zell Miller Scholar, which means she carries a very high grade point average, 3.8 or above, correct? Which means basically God has blessed her for the opportunity that everything, not everything completely, but a large percentage of her college will be paid for at this point. So, and she puts the work in. She really does. There you go, Michaela.
Thank you.
And the old man, here you go.
I'm James. I graduated from Armstrong with my BSN. I will start graduate school if I pass the test that I'm taking tomorrow, a week from tomorrow, at Armstrong. And I accepted a position in the residency program at Memorial and Emergency Department.
There you go, James. And we are proud of them. Katie Kale, who's also a graduate from Savannah Christian Preparatory School, is currently in a very difficult situation. We'll have to pray for her. She's on a cruise ship in the Bahamas. Hey, thank you, James, for the commentary. But we are proud of them. Probably for some of you that, as you look at these young people, you wish you could tell them some things. But you may not have an opportunity to speak into their life, but you have an opportunity to pray into their lives. And that's every single day. So right now, I'd like for the families to come first, if they're here, to pray, to stand with them. So if you got your family here, come on up. Amy, I think your family might come up. I'm not sure at this point. hold on, there's a stranger trying to intrude the graduation prayer. Oh.
Sycamore, Korea.
Brother Dusty is going to anoint them with oil as I pray over them. So if you guys, Mr. Dusty, Brother Dusty, gonna come by and anoint you with oil. Dusty, some of them need a double dip. So
I've got a 55-gallon barrel.
I won't call names. Amy probably needs a little bit. So, all right, guys, we do love you, and we are proud of you. And, you know, some of you, it's pretty cool because some of you have literally grown up before our very eyes, literally. And we thank God for you. So I'm going to pray for you as Brother Dusty anoints you. So will you join me in prayer, please? Father God, we do thank you for each one of these young people. God, I thank you for their faithfulness day in and day out. Father, I know there have been times where they have felt like saying, what's the use? I give up. I surrender. Well, God, what I would pray for that specifically is this, is Lord, you provided the grace, you provided the strength, you provided the guidance. God, you provided the ability to see them through. And Lord, I don't want to just praise you for that, for being in the past. Lord, I pray for it to go into the future. Because God, they still have a life to live. And Lord, you still have that purpose and a plan every single day for them. And God, I would pray today that, Lord, one more time at this moment, they could feel the very presence of God coming upon them as Brother Dusty anoints them. That God, that their abilities, their gifts, their talents, their resources have been given to them for the kingdom of God. And Lord, there'll be struggles ahead, choices to be made. Discernment will be needed and wisdom will be needed. Well, God, I pray first and foremost, their habit will be you and them facing it. The Lord, they won't wait to face it and then turn to you. The Lord, they're already walking closely as they run into situations that they'll need you in. And Lord, I pray they'll be good stewards of their blessings because you have blessed them mightily. Lord, we pray today for their protection. The world, the flesh, and the devil does want to kill, steal, and destroy. But Lord, we strike those plans down, those thoughts down. Father, I ask that you would protect them this moment, protect them into the future. Lord, I pray that there'll be that city on a hill in a very dark world. We love them and we thank you for them. And we pray this in a very powerful name, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, thank you guys. Jay even got dressed up for the occasion. Yeah.
How's everybody today? Man, y'all were in unison there. Okay, we're going to start now, okay? How are y'all doing? Glad to see y'all today. It's been a long walk getting here today. What? What am I doing? I'm walking around talking to y'all. We're having our kids zone time. Our race. Man, it took me a long time to get here today.
Oh, I know. Are
you pretending you're short? Pretending I'm short?
Yeah, I think it is.
All right. I've got a verse I want one of y'all to read, okay? I wish you could read. Maybe your big brother can help you, okay? Right here, David.
That verse that's underlined right there, what does it say?
Pray without ceasing.
All right. Read it again.
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing. Now, Do you think that the Lord meant that this is what I was supposed to do? I was supposed to walk around on my knees? That's praying without ceasing, praying all day long. And I'm supposed to be having my hands folded and walking around on my knees. Do you think that's what that verse means? What do you think it means? It means I'm to pray all the time. But do I have to be on my knees to pray?
Maybe.
Sometimes. But do you have to be on your knees to pray all the time?
No.
Okay? Because what did God give you your feet for? To walk around, and your hands to use to do things every day. But does that mean right now I can't pray? Can I pray standing up and my hands not folded?
No.
Can I pray without my eyes being shut?
Yes.
Okay. Do you hear people talk about praying when they're in their car? Don't you wish that all of them will not close their eyes when they're praying, when they're driving their car? Yes, we do. We don't want them to shut their eyes. So, can you pray without speaking out loud? How do you do that? In your mind. In your mind, you can pray. So that means anytime, anywhere, what that scripture means is we're to be in an attitude of prayer that we can pray about anything, just like that. It'd be just like, now Austin, you're gonna pretend like you're the Lord. Okay. It's just like the Lord is walking with me and I'm doing stuff and He's right beside me. And any time I can stop and say, Lord, should I be doing that? No, that's right. All right. And I can stop at any time because wherever we go, if we have the Lord in our lives, where's the Lord? He's with us. He's in our heart. So we can talk to Him at any time. Now, I want to remind you of something. You know, every week when y'all go in the back and y'all make that prayer list, you know, that big sheet that you stick on the wall and those prayers, do you know that Brother Rick and Brother Dane and Brother Dusty, all three of us, every Monday morning, we pray over those prayer requests with y'all. Just wanted to remind y'all. How many of y'all have had an answer to prayer? God came through. How about you guys? Answer to prayer? How about an answer to prayer this week? All right? How about an answer to prayer today? All right. So let's pray right now. Okay? Thank you, Lord, for your presence here. And thank you that you have given us the opportunity that we can come to you at any time, Lord, and speak to you, and that you answer us. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty, y'all can go to Kids Zone. And speaking of answers to prayer, we're glad to have Miss Claudia here, right here. And Tim and Si. And they're going to be much closer, Columbus, Georgia. So praise the Lord for that. So let's see, how many miles is that? About a 4-hour drive, 5-hour drive, something like that. Okay. You believe God can bring them even closer?
Amen.
He can bring them to Stewart? How about the Hunter? All right, we'll be praying that. And we've been praying for Claudia to come back, but she's got to come back as a wealthy woman. So it's good to see you today. Graduates, I have this sermon today is mostly for you. But it's really not about the stuff you hear at graduation speeches. Title of it is Static on the Line. Any of you ever have static on your line? About a half a dozen phone calls this week that I made. In fact, I was talking to Sophia one day, and everything that I said to her was on a half a second delay as it reverberated back to me. I was hearing everything I said to her a half a second later. It was coming right, you know, I pointed that finger and three were coming right back. We get static on the line with these things. Sometimes it's broken. This morning I got up, and this 2 days in a row, and I panicked. There were no phone calls. There were no texts. I said, something's wrong in the world. Something's not right. And I looked at the top. It had a little message. It said, SIM card failure. Static on the line. Interference. Today we're going to talk about hearing from the Lord. Graduates, I hope you hear this. Church, I hope you hear this today. There's never been a time in our history as a country, in the history of the world, where it's been more important than we hear the voice of God than right now. All the things that are going on right now, how we live our lives, we need to hear from the Lord. Our story today that I'm going to read to you from Daniel chapter 10 in just a moment is about a man who had had much experience in calling on the name of the Lord. When this fellow was a teenager, he was snatched up from his homeland and taken to a new place. He was taken captive by the Babylonians and the Babylonian Empire. By the time of the story that I'm going to read to you takes place, he's an old man. And he spent a lifetime away from his homeland, but a lifetime learning to hear the voice of God. I also want to say as a footnote out to the side here, I believe by the time I get through this message today, because of the content of it, not because of the delivery of it, that you're going to say, I wish so-and-so could have heard this today. You're going to think of some people in your life. God had used the young man that we're going to read this story about to speak to his own people, who were the Jews. He'd spoke to them on many occasions. The Lord also used him to speak to his captors, the Babylonians. And eventually he would be used to speak to those who would come and release his people from their Babylonian captivity, the Medo-Persians. You see, this young man had much experience in the arena of prayer. In fact, it was his prayer life one time that landed him in a lion's den. Are you up to speed yet? Again and again, God would manifest Himself and His power and His presence through the life of a young man known in Babylonian circles by the name Belteshazzar. But his given name from the Lord, Daniel. The Jews were already being allowed to repopulate, to return to their homeland when this vision appears to Daniel, the vision I'm going to read. The purpose of it was to prepare God's people for what was about to come. And you know, I believe God is in that business of preparing His people, don't you? That God would prepare us, just like as a parent, you prepare your children to live out in the world. Don't you believe God does the same thing? The one who is the Lord over history and the Lord of everything that's going on in the world right now. Don't you believe He's preparing us for the days that are to come? It's not business as usual. Their return, talking about the Jews' return to the land of Israel, would mark the beginning of, as the Scripture says, times of war and great hardship. It would begin a next era in salvation history. In the vision that follows in chapter 11, and we're going to read out chapter 10, there's a detailed prophecy of history. And I'd encourage you this afternoon, when you get home, to open your Bible and read that prophecy. It gives an outline of how history would play out. And if you can read that and tell me that the Lord isn't in charge of His Word is not true, as it lines out the kingdoms that would come in detail. And all this was written well before. And we have it documented. We have the actual documents that show that it was written before that time, the time that it happened, and as it's detailed out. Over 100 prophecies in the book of Daniel alone that have been fulfilled in detail. So I want you to know, it's part of a larger story of what God is doing. Now, let me read the story to you. In the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known to the Persians or to the Babylonians by the name of Belteshazzar, had another vision. It concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. And Daniel understood what the vision meant. "When this vision came to me," he said, "I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 weeks, for 21 days. All that time I'd eaten no rich food or meat, had drunk no wine, and had used no fragrant oils. On April the 23rd, in the New Living, gives the exact day, as I was standing before the great Tigris River, I looked up and I saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist." Would that stop you if you had that vision? "His body looked like a dazzling gem. From his face came flashes like lightning, and his eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice was like the roaring of a vast multitude of people." Let me stop here at the end of verse 6 and tell you. I just want to let you know, I want to warn you, this passage is going to mess with you today. It's going to mess with you. So be ready. "I, Daniel, am the only one who saw this vision. The men who were with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and they ran away to hide. So I was left there all alone to watch this amazing vision. My strength left me, my face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. When I heard him speak," this man that was standing before him, "I fainted and I lay there with my face to the ground. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and my knees. And the man said to me, 'O Daniel, greatly loved of God, listen carefully to what I have to say. Stand up, for I have been sent to you.' When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling with fear. Then he said, 'Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven, and I have come in answer to your prayer.'" How would you like to know and hear verbally that your prayer has been answered? Verse 13. "But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia Some translation would say the prince of Persia. It's a demonic authority. Blocked my way. Let me read that again. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Now, I know you're wondering, who's this guy that's talking to Daniel? And who is this spirit prince guy? Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. And I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future. For this vision concerns a time yet to come. And while he was speaking to me, I looked at the ground, unable to say a word. And then the one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing in front of me, "I'm terrified by the vision I have seen, my Lord, and I'm very weak. How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe." Then the one who looked like a man touched me again, and I felt my strength returning. "Don't be afraid," he said, "for you are deeply loved by the Lord. Be at peace, take heart, and be strong." And as he spoke these words, I suddenly felt stronger, and I said to him, "Now you may speak, my Lord, for you have strengthened me." He replied, "Do you know why I've come? Soon I must return to fight against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, and then against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece. But before I do that, I tell you what is written in the book of truth. There is no one to help me against these spirit princes except Michael, your prince." Now, what's he talking about? What is this about? Daniel had prayed, and then he is visited by an angel. My speculation is it's probably the angel Gabriel that's actually the one, because in the chapters before, in chapter 8 and in chapter 9, it mentions the angel Gabriel in those. Now, it doesn't mention the name of the one that comes to him, but it is an angel that comes to him, messenger of God, and a high-ranking one at that. God had dispatched Gabriel with a message for Daniel to bring to his people, the Jews. Gabriel tells him about the difficulty that he has in arriving there, in getting to him. He encountered the spirit prince of Persia. And what's he talking about? You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers." And we see there an ordering, a ranking, if you will, of these evil entities that they're there, that are in charge of things. Now, I want to illustrate this for you. Just like at times in your personal life, you feel like things are being orchestrated, how things happen, like there's another entity there in the room or is present with you. And you feel that presence, and you know there's an evil, there's a demonic presence that is warring against you. Well, take that up on several levels up, on the levels of governments and world events. That's who we're talking about here. And we see things happen in the world at times, don't we? Well, we wonder, who is the puppet master that is behind the events that are going on? Because the reality of things, you add it up and it doesn't come to that conclusion. You know there must be something else that is at work, some force that is at work that is going on. That's what we're talking about here. When Daniel prays the prayer, for 3 weeks, this is going on in his life. He prays this prayer, and the Lord answers his prayer, and he answers his prayer by dispatching Gabriel to come with the message, which is the definition of an angel, is a messenger. He comes, he is coming with an answer for him, but in the process of that, he has to do battle as he comes across that. Brings about several truths we need to know about angels. Angels are not omnipresent. They have locality. Satan himself, a fallen angel himself, is not omnipresent. We need to remember that. He has locality. And how does it seem like Satan is everywhere at once? Well, because he has a lot of representatives that are out there doing his work and doing his bidding. So here, and this is a big dog angel here that is coming to him with this message. Must have been a very important message, wouldn't you say? Well, he's about to record a vision that will help us in the future of generations of people about to help us as we understand things that are going on in the world today and understand it. So it is a very important message that he's bringing to Daniel. And though Daniel didn't understand in his mind and heart all the details of how things would work out, but he does understand a lot. But Gabriel's prevented because he gets in this battle with the prince of Persia on the way over there. Because the prince of Persia is preventing him from coming. We're not talking about a physical prince. We're talking about a spirit prince. We're talking about a demon. And they're in battle there. And so Michael, the archangel, he comes. You know what his name means? Michael means who's like the Lord. Who's like the Lord. So he comes and does battle, releases Gabriel to come. And 21 days, 3 weeks later, he comes and delivers the message. You may ask the question, why would such a demon with such ranking be interested in Daniel? The demon is very interested in what happens to God's people, and in particular, to the Jews. Right now. Hey, if you want to understand history, if you want to understand what's going on in the world, it's one place. It's one-stop shopping. You put a stack pole right at Jerusalem, and you put everything out there, historically, geographically, language, everything in the world. History revolves around that axis because God says that it does. And of course, the evil one doesn't want God's message to arrive. Now, I want to remind you, it's just like that for you. When you pray, the Lord doesn't want, the evil Lord does not want the message of God to arrive for you. So there's battle going on. Young people, that's why there's a battle when you pray. That's why there's a war. For your soul, there's a war for you to do the right thing. And particularly now, you who are involved in a change in your life, you're shifting gears. And though a change can mean that can be a good thing, how would the evil one see a change? He'd say, oh, here's an opening. Here's an opportunity. Things are going to change for this person. Maybe I can weasel my way in. Now, we need to hear this message today. Here's a few nuggets from the story, and I'll get through these quickly. From verse 1, which says, in the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belshazzar, had another vision. It concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship, and Daniel understood what the vision meant. Things are not as they seem on the surface, are they? Come on now. Don't be an idiot here. I mean, I'm an amateur historian. All you got to do is look at the documents of the time, of any time in history, and look at what people were saying then about it. And then as we have the perfect 2020 hindsight and look back at those events, and we see, oh, this was what was really happening at that time. This isn't black helicopters. This isn't stuff behind. This is just fact. In every generation that's gone before us, as we look back, Daniel's world was not as it seemed. Who would have thought that the Medo-Persian Empire would come in, take over Babylon, and release these Jewish captives and send them back to their homeland and pay for it? Come on now. Who would have imagined that? There wouldn't have been anybody in the world living at that time that you could have sold that box to. It just didn't happen. So, are things as they seem in your life? As you look, of course they're not. Whose vision do you need in your life to see things as they really are? You need the Lord to be leading you, to see behind things, to see through things. You know, finally, like in The Matrix, when Neo sees it, he sees things as they really are. Number two, we're part of an ongoing spiritual battle. For 21 days, verse 13 says, for 21 days the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Daniel saw clearly that he was involved in a battle of biblical proportions. Ha ha. The battle had been raging since the Garden of Eden. And here he is, a part of this battle. The angel Gabriel had come to him before. He had seen the battle. Look at all the things he had been through. You know, his experience in the lion's den, his experience in prayer, his experience in government, all these things. I mean, this guy has been at every level of government. This guy, he has been on the world political scene, he has had his hand on the pulse of what was going on in the known world by all the movers and shakers of his day. This is not some religious ignoramus set off on an island somewhere. This is a guy who knew what was going on. But he didn't just know what was going on in the physical world. He could see what was going on in the spiritual world. He saw himself as being a part of this raging spiritual battle. Number three, God will answer our prayers. Daniel 10:12 says, and then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. This is Gabriel speaking to him. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before the Lord, your request has been heard in heaven, and I have come in answer to your prayers. I want to remind you, you read about people in Scripture that hear from the Lord. There's a commonality about them. They have a humble heart. They have submitted themselves before the Lord. They are under God's covering and protection. You get outside of that, you go out and do your own Lone Ranger thing, and guess what? You're not under God's covering out there. God will answer your prayers. God came to the aid of Daniel. He always comes. That's never in question. The question is whether or not we're going to receive what he has to say and receive from him. Daniel was looking back at this point in his life on a lifetime of faithfulness from God. Look at all the ways God had worked in his life. Number four. Hearing from God will challenge your patience. When the vision came, Daniel 10:2 says, when it came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 weeks. What do you call that? He's agonizing before the Lord. He's speaking. He's been stirred spiritually. Now, you know, this stop and pop culture that we live in that says, oh, you ask for something today, you get it this afternoon. Is that how it works with the Lord? Can I get a witness from anybody on that? Is that how it works with the Lord? Absolutely not. You don't step down stipulations for Jesus. That's arrogance. What's the root of arrogance? That's hot from hell. That's smoking, but in the wrong way. Hearing from God is a challenge of your patience. Daniel knew something was going on. You ever feel like that? You're stirred in your spirit, but you don't know why. You just can't put your, you can't put your finger on it. What's happening? Young people, I want to say to you, there are things I've learned about prayer I wish I'd known when I was your age. And I wish somebody had been preaching this message to me when I was your age that would show me this big arsenal of weapons that we have in prayer. But it takes waiting upon the Lord. Daniel had to wait 21 days. And look at all that's going on. You ever wonder, if we're acting it out here on earth, you ever wonder what's going on in the spiritual realm around us? My good friend Doug Dorman, he said this to me years ago. He said it to me many times. He said, if you want clues about what's going on in the spiritual realm, look in the physical realm, because it pops through. We get little cues, little hints about what's going on. And for Daniel, it came in the form of him just being stirred. Stirred. Let me stop right now. Young people, old people, middle-aged people, would you like to hear from the Lord? Would you like to hear what he has to say to you, about your life, about what's going on, about circumstances, about what you need to be doing? I'm sure there's a few, chief financial officers around our country that would have liked to have known a few years ago ahead of time that things are going to crash like they did. How many of those guys have you heard say, you know, I blew it? I hadn't heard that much. Which usually means you're getting them ready for a bigger fall down the road. Number five, his plan is bigger than us. The vision that he gives there, he says, do you know why I've come? Soon I must return to fight against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, then against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece. But before I do that, I'll tell you what is written in the book of truth. There is no one to help me against these spirit princes except Michael your spirit prince. God had a bigger plan. Daniel was part of something that was bigger, bigger than his time frame, bigger than what he was experiencing right there around him. I want you to know, God has a bigger plan for you and for me. Why not join Him in what He's doing? It's a step of faith, but why not join Him? What is God doing in your life? What can you put your finger on and say, I know God did this. I know God is doing this. His plan is bigger than us. And then finally, we've got to stay on the line through the struggle. What was it say in the 23rd Psalm? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. We go through. There's light on the other side of the tunnel there. And it's not an oncoming train. Back to Matrix again. And about your destiny. It's the light of the Lord. Daniel 10:19 says this, don't be afraid, he said, for you are deeply loved by God. Who else is he speaking that to? Isn't he speaking that to you? Boy, you see, what would come through all of this is that the Savior would come and would show them the love of Christ, this one who would lay down his life. Be at peace. Take heart. Be strong. And as he spoke these words, I suddenly felt stronger and said to him, now you may speak, my Lord, for you strengthen me. It tells me sometimes the Lord has to give us a message. Listen to me now. Has to give us a message to get us ready to hear the message. Because that message is going to get us ready to hear the big kahuna message. Got it? There's a progressive nature of this revelation to the Lord. When I was just a little boy, my daddy was trying to teach me about gun safety. He was a Nazi about it. Thank God. Because we'd have probably killed one another in our neighborhood. They'd try to hide the weapons. You know, we knew where everything was. And I remember him. When I got my first .22 rifle, single shot, came from Sears. Christmas Day, I received that gift from him. He said, sit down here, son, I'm going to show you something. He opened the bolt on it, and he said, here's how you take the bolt out. Take a little pocket knife, release that catch there, you slide the bolt out. He said, now here's the rifle, here's the bolt, and here's the ammunition. You can't trust your brother. My brother was 7 years younger than me. I was 13 at the time. He was 6. He said, you can't trust your brother. I shook my head. I said, I know. I've seen what my brother will do. I'm thinking to myself, I know what he'll do. He said, I want you to hide the ammunition in one spot, the bolt in another spot, and the rifle in another spot. And he said, and maybe we can keep your brother from getting his hands on. I didn't understand all of that on that day. I couldn't get a grip on that. Just like when God reveals things to us, we just have to be obedient through the struggle, even though we don't understand it completely. Fast forward, I've just started college. I've just had my 18th birthday, and I get home one day. My brother is 11. And my dad's face is red as that red stripe on the American flag. And he has my brother's BB gun in his hand. And he is speaking very loudly to my brother. And his jugular veins were popping out. And he was getting it in a language that my brother could understand. He said, "You will not ever do that again." I didn't know what that was. I went inside. Mom said, "Well, your brother and the next door neighbor, they were having BB gun wars, and Vic's BB gun was more powerful than his, so they're on their way to the doctor to get him to dig the BB out of his leg." Well, my dad took the BB gun and it had a steel barrel. And I remember this lesson because he bent it in his hand. And he said, "You will not shoot this gun again. You will have no gun." That Christmas day from 5 years before came back to me. Hide the ammunition here. Hide the bolt here. And hide the rifle here. There's no way I could have appreciated that at the age of 13. But the age of 18, I understood. We don't always understand what God is saying to us at the time. We don't have to. What He calls on us to do and to be is obedient. Why? Because we trust Him. Now, up to that time, in regard to firearm safety, at the age of 13, Christmas Day, my dad had done nothing for me that had led me to believe that he didn't have anything in store for me except my safety, the safety of others, and wanting me to be the best marksman I could without killing somebody. I took it by faith. Daniel didn't understand everything when the Lord spoke, but he took it by faith. Young people, one more time, I ask you to look at me. A lot of things you don't know about this world. I've been at it a long, long time, as many of others here. There's still a lot of things I don't know. But let me assure you, I know light years more than you know about what's going on in the world. And I'm telling you, there's only one voice that we must listen to. And that's the Lord's. There may be static on the line, but I'm inviting you today to stay on the line. Some of you are going to be going to college. You're going to be tested. Let me tell you, they're going to test you at college. They're going to test you in the world. Because the evil one is all about testing you. This book is true. His word is true. And His presence is real. And He will be your Emmanuel, God with you, if you let Him. Got it? Understand? Is it plain? Okay, that's all I got to say. I want to pray for you. Not going to have an altar call today. If you want to see Dane or Rick or me afterwards, we'll be around. We'll pray with you. We'll stay with you all afternoon. We need to do that. want to give you an opportunity right now if you want to bring your the cards you filled out, your offering. The baskets are here, and we'll receive that from you today. We'll wait just a moment. Never know what that preacher is going to do at the end. Unpredictable. Let's pray. Lord, right now I thank you that even with static on the line, that you speak, that you move, you act. Lord, you want to reveal yourself in the battle that we're fighting in this world. I ask you today, right now, especially for these that we have prayed for today, as they go forth into the world, that, Lord, your Spirit would be upon them and they would listen to what you have to say. We bless you, Lord. And, Lord, I want to say to you today, I need you. I need fresh manna every day. Because, Lord, there are things happening that I just can't even wrap my mind around. But I know, Lord, you are Lord of all of it. Now send us out, Lord. Send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus and under the authority of our Father. We bless you. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you.